Folks, we're sponsored today by Donors Trust, the tax-friendly way to preserve your charitable giving. In times of crisis, those with a giving spirit and a desire to build up civil society find ways to be helpful. And that's when it's good to have a charitable resource ready to deploy when they're needed most. Donors Trust offers donor-advised funds or giving accounts. You can use these funds as your own charitable investment account and manage your charitable giving in a way that's smart, tax-advantaged, aligned with your values, and private. Donors Trust clients are using their funds to support charities helping their local communities while also using their giving account to simultaneously support think tanks and liberty-minded organizations that believe our constitutional rights shouldn't get lost in a time of emergency. Now is the time to take a closer look at Donors Trust and join their community of liberty-minded donors by opening a donor advised fund. Go to donorstrust.org/justnews for the ultimate survival guide to charitable giving and learn how a donor advised fund can preserve your ability to give to the charities you love. That's donorstrust.org/justnews.
Hello, ladies. Hello, gentlemen. This is the Victor Davis Hanson Show. I am Jack Fowler, the host and the star namesake. That is Victor Davis Hanson. He is the Martin and Ely Anderson Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution and the Wayne and Marsha Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College. We are recording on February 17th, a Saturday. This particular episode should be up on the World Wide Webs on February 22nd. That's a Thursday. Also on the World Wide Webs is The Blade of Perseus. That's Victor's official website at victorhanson.com. We'll talk more about that later in today's episode. Victor, there's a couple of free speech matters, a couple of gender matters, a two-state solution, a whole smorgasbord of interesting topics to propose to you to get your thoughts and wisdom on. And we'll get to, we'll start on free speech, and we'll get to that right after these important messages. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? For our listeners, Factor is giving you 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month when you use the promo code VICTOR50 at factormeals.com/VICTOR50. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Remember, to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month, head to factormeals.com/VICTOR50, that's VICTOR50, and use the code VICTOR50, that's code VICTOR50, at factormeals.com/VICTOR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Hey folks, if you've been listening to our show, you've probably heard Victor talk about Hillsdale College. It's one of the few colleges in the U.S. still interested in teaching truth. What you probably didn't know is that they have over 40 free online courses. And Victor is one of the professors in 3 of those courses, American Citizenship and Its Decline, based on Victor's book, The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism, and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America, The Second World Wars, based on his book by the same name, and Athens and Sparta, partly based on his book, A War Like No Other, How the Athenians and Spartans Fought the Peloponnesian War. Don't you wish Victor would have been one of your professors in college? Well, now you can join him as he covers some of the main ideas of his books with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. That's right, for free. The courses are 7 to 9 episodes long, and they are self-spaced, so you can take them whenever and wherever. I think I'm going to start with American Citizenship and Its Decline, where Victor explores the history of citizenship in the West and the threats it faces today. Threats like the erosion of the middle class, the disappearance of our borders, the growth of an unaccountable deep state, and the rise of globalist organizations. Hey, start your free course with Victor Davis Hanson today. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/VDH to start. It's free and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/VDH to start. hillsdale.edu/VDH. We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, you and I discussed this one or two episodes ago. I was a little, more than a little, intimately involved in this case, the Michael Mann, the climatologist suing Mark Stein. We discussed the verdict against Stein over a week ago. National Review, when I was the publisher, was involved and still will be involved because Michael Mann will be bringing back all parties into the case post-trial by new legal action. I think one thing that is interesting, Victor, the lawfare issue aside, you know, let's break these institutions and individuals that have the temerity to question us, the scientists, quote-unquote scientists, is now the claim to make these people, the scientists, a protected class of a sort. So here's a just a little chunk from an editorial in Science magazine that's based on the Manstein verdict. And it says, although some free speech advocates warn that the verdict will have a chilling effect on the criticism of scientific findings, perhaps the verdict can be viewed more optimistically as appropriately directing matters of opinion to blogs and opinion columns, while matters of scientific disagreement are handled in the literature of scientific record. In other words, Victor, you and I and others should shut up about challenging the actual science. Maybe because we don't have the right credentials after our name, right? We don't have the PhDs. But if you don't, shut up. Your thoughts?
Well, I think everybody's got to see this in the wider context in which it's taking place. I don't think anybody would believe if Mark Stein was a Greta Thunberg and a radical proponent of global intervention that is necessary to stop climate change. And Michael Mann had said that he didn't think climate change either didn't think it existed, or to the degree that it existed, he didn't think that government action would make much of a difference. And do you really believe that a court would say that Mark Stein had defamed him? I don't. I think they would say what he said about Michael Mann needed to be said, because we're in an existential crisis, and Mark was just trying to get the truth out that climate change exists, and Michael Mann is a climate denialist, and they would nullify the jury or whatever. That's what it would be. So what I'm getting at is there's a lot of things going on, but the left feels that they cannot count on elections anymore. They don't poll 51%. And that gives them two alternatives, Jack. Three alternatives. They feel that they have to use institutional control, the administrative state, the corporate boardroom, K-12, academia, entertainment, professional sports, media, traditional media, Silicon Valley, to affect public opinion and the money that accrues from these globalized industries to sway And what do I mean? How does that manifest itself? That means that Michael Mann will be lavish with a lot of money and Mark Steyn will not. That means that E. Jean Carroll will have a Silicon Valley person footing the entire bill. That means there's going to be millions of dollars going into the coffers, campaign coffers of Letitia James. And the same thing about Alvin Bragg. And that's how they will affect it. The second thing is they will affect it through the courts. They have given up on the give and take of legislation that's too burdensome. So they feel that with their institutional control, that they can exercise an agenda and maintain power through the courts. And they have. And so if they see a existential elected threat that the people have elected through the Electoral College, or maybe in 2024 through the popular vote, if they see that threat on the horizon, then they will use all of their institutional control in the media to outfund him, to change the voting laws, to make sure that Election Day voting does not really exist. And in the long term, they will try to get rid of the Electoral College or pack the court or get rid of the... So they look at systems and processes because they don't believe the people can be trusted to do the right thing as they define the right thing. And so the courts now are really the engine of the United States as far as where the battles of over ideology are taking place. And this is important. And we are losing on the conservative side that battle for a variety of very simple reasons. Our law schools, as part of the academic enterprise, have embraced critical legal theory, which means that the laws are constructs created by a privileged white male class, and therefore there are mechanisms to get around it and to get true justice, because you should consider the law. If it's a campaign finance law, it can be valuable maybe to go after Donald Trump, but not Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. If E. Jean Carroll's got a ridiculous story, she should win because she's fighting an existential right-wing threat in a way that Tara Reid is a nut and you should never believe her. If the latest FBI informant suggests that he had information about the Biden family, then you've got to go after him and you indict him. But you would never do that to Christopher Steele, who cooked up the P tape and was taken at face value. That's what critical legal theory is. And they have the majority of prosecutors. And that was what Soros saw, that better than all the conservatives combined. He saw that you could affect change through the courts in a way you could not through the Congress or the executive even. And that's why he got elected all of these local and state prosecutors. Take George Soros out of the equations and there is no Letitia James or Alvin Bragg or Fannie Willis. They just wouldn't exist. And so they understand that. And I think we don't. So the courts are where the left sees that social, cultural, economic, political change can take place. And they feel that the law schools are turning out prosecutors, judges, defense attorneys that reflect a unanimously left-wing point of view.
Right.
And that's why it's the final thing I'll say, and this is why I have such contempt for the Never Trumpers, to the degree that any of them still swear, like a George Will, that they are conservatives. Whatever damage they think that Donald Trump does by his crude behavior pales in comparison with empowering or directly aiding a Democratic administration, whether at the state or federal level, to be elected, because what they are doing is getting thousands of federal and state judges who are on the left who believe in critical legal theory, critical race theory, into positions of power to affect social change that will not be conservative. And that's what's happening.
Go through our grandchildren's lifetimes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's why, and it sets a message. I think everybody realized that deterrence makes the world go around. People act accordingly to an instant adjudication of cost to benefit. And when they start to see that if you go down the Mark Steyn pathway, or you go down the Donald Trump pathway, or you go down any of the Tara Reid pathway, or you go down any of these pathways, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to end up like General Michael Flynn. You just don't do that. And so you make the necessary adjustment. You go down the Scott Atlas pathway or the Jay Bhatia pathway, considered in comparison with maybe the Fauci pathway or the James Comey pathway or the Robert Mueller or the Andrew McCabe. The system gives you indemnity. It protects you. You will not be sued. If you lie under oath, you will not be prosecuted. You will not be prosecuted. If you take money from the Romanians or the Chinese or the Russians, you will not be prosecuted. If you're Hunter Biden, you can get away with it. He almost got away with it, except for one odd judge.
Right, right.
And he probably will get away with it. So that sends a message to all of us. Do you really want to be out there speaking on the conservative side and questioning radical changes in government to react to climate change that'll cost trillions of dollars and affect the middle class? Do you really want to question DEI? Do you really want to question an open border? Do you want to get that name? Because your life is going to be very, very complicated. And if you don't cross your T's and dot your I's in your taxes and your behavior and what you say, you're going to be broke. Asset forfeiture. You're going to be ruined. And I think all of us understand that they have they've created deterrence. And the left, but the weird thing about it, it's not deterrence always works two ways. It scares off people who will feel punished, but it also encourages people to be audacious. And that's what it's doing. It's telling people on the left, you can say whatever you want. You can go after anybody you want. You can do this, you can do that, you can, and we're going to protect you. Letitia James, you can go on a junket. You can pay in cash. The IRS is never going to investigate you or Wade. No way. They're not going to do that. And so that's where we are in America. I never thought we would be there. I never thought that we would have a third world judicial system, but we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, what's in the pipeline for that are the example from was it last year? Within the last 18 months, where at Stanford Law School, this is the future bright jurisprudence crowd coming to America, and they are hostile to free speech.
And this is all coupled. Remember, when you mentioned Stanford Law School and Judge Duncan, the idea that you shout down a conservative federal judge and you give a message to all conservative judges, if you're going to rule in a way that we don't agree with on transgender, are you going to use the wrong pronoun? You're not going to be able to set foot on a campus. We're going to disrupt your lecture. And if you think anything's going to happen, and we're going to hijack your lecture, nothing's going to happen. None of our students who did this are going to pay a price. It's just not going to happen. They're going to be heroes. And that's the message. And that's coupled with the reality, Jack, that our students are going to be considered the best and the brightest with a Stanford JD, but they're going to only 83% of them are going to pass the watered down bar exam.
Right.
Because they're not going to be competent in things like contractual law or, you know, probate
Details.
Law or criminal
right.
law or civil yeah. law. They're going to be competent in woke law. And they've taken classes about DEI law and race law and culture law and gender law. And so we're creating a highly politicized, weaponized legal community that lacks the knowledge of jurisprudence of past generations because they don't think that jurisprudence is necessary because it doesn't exist. Everything now is relative. It's Foucauldian flexible. A contract is only to be adjudicated in terms of who is the victim of the contract and who is the victimizer. Who owns that house doesn't matter anymore. If you don't have sufficient shelter according to your needs and you see an empty house, then you go in there and move it. And whose critical legal theory says that you have a right to that, a human right. And forget about who owns it and the mortgage and the ownership and the title. You possess it by the fact that you're in it. And they can't get you out. And that's where we're headed to. And it's not new. It's what destroys civilization and the rule of law. Yeah. It really is. It's very scary.
Well, hopefully we'll have time at the end, Victor, to pick up on that squatter issue a little more. But we'll just stay on verbiage. And let me just use one word before we move on. And that word is barbecue. And just hearing the word makes your mouth water. You may already have a low temperature, slow cooking smoker, egg or pellet barbecue, but in the middle of your busy week, who has that kind of time? You need a hot, fast, solar infrared gas grill. It heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even on cold winter nights. That locks in juices and flavor and grills food faster. In just a few minutes, your family will be sitting at the table enjoying delicious, better than restaurant quality grilled food, juicy steaks, moist chicken, tender fish, and healthy grilled veggies. Solaire is a multi-generational, veteran-owned business. Their portables, carts, and built-ins are all made in the USA from commercial-grade stainless steel, so they're built to last. Get your free guide, How to Choose the Right Infrared Grill, at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Solaire Infrared, fast, delicious, grilled food every day. Once again, besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com. And we thank the good people from Solaire for sponsoring the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, words. Here's a piece from National Review the other day by Ryan Mills, headline, Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, cautions State Department staff against misgendering using gendered terms like father in official cable. So here's what it says here. In early February, just days after the United States launched dozens of strikes against Iranian-backed militants in retaliation for the killing of three American soldiers, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken finally found time to provide guidance to his staffers on a really, really pressing issue facing the nation, the threat of misgendering. Making assumptions about another person's gender identity based on their appearance or name, quote, can be problematic, end quote, and send a, quote, harmful, exclusionary message, end quote. Blinken wrote in a February 5th cable, which instructed State Department employees to avoid using common terms. Victor, this is going to be, this is really threatening, terrible terms like mother and father, son and daughter, husband and wife. Victor, this is our State Department.
Well, I mean, he's basically,
you're not surprised.
Yeah, he's basically saying that it's 1793 and we're in the reign of terror and Robespierre is running things and the Committee on Public Safety is in control and they're monitoring the thought, the expression, the vocabulary of all of us. And if you buck them, they're going to put you in a guillotine, figuratively, although I'm not sure it won't eventually come to literally. And that's what's happened. It's the same thing of the Bolshevik Revolution of 1918. Suddenly this minority party takes over and they start going after everybody. So now it's pronouns. And what does that mean? What does that mean that we all have to change the English language because in this particular year, in this particular era of our lives, somebody has decided that 0.0001 of the population historically feels that it's now a civil rights issue rather than a medical issue? And this is crazy. And there was something, I get back to this, Jack, that there was something insane about taking 330 million people and locking them up under the fear of COVID for over 2 years and giving them and shutting down the schools and connecting everybody together, mostly through a computer or television screen, and having that information siphoned to them by the left-wing apparat. And that's what happened. And there were a lot of psychological, psychosocial ramifications to that. And one of them is we had a lot of really bizarre ideas, like hiring thousands of DEI czars throughout our universities, and then the transgender pronouns, and Me Too took off again. And we had all of these kind of Salem witch trials. I don't know, if you want to be more cynical, it was sort of like swallowing goldfish or packing people in a Volkswagen. It was these fads, and we haven't recovered from it. And so this is insane. And what I guess what everybody's looking for is, they don't want a Napoleon to stop the French Revolution. They don't want some vile person like a Hitler to stop the Weimar Republic's decadence. They don't want a Lenin or Stalin to get rid of the revolutionary chaos. They want an elected government that says, we're going to respect the law and the customs and traditions of the United States. And we're going to stop this madness. People commit crimes are going to go to jail. People cross the border and think it's their country and break the law. They're going to be sent back, but they're never going to be able to cross the border. And we don't want to intervene in foreign affairs. And we are no better friend or no worse enemy. But if you attack the United States, we're going to be disproportionate. We don't want to, but we will be. Unpredictable and disproportionate. But we have no desire to go into your wretched country and try to teach you about gender studies, or to fly a pride flag on our embassy, or to have a George flag. That's not our business. And I think that's what we're hoping will happen, a return to sanity and normality.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in this election. I fear that these people are so unhinged, and they have so many resources and so much money, and they have so little morality or ethics, and they will manipulate things in a way we have never seen. It's going to be very hard to defeat them. It really is. And even if you defeat them, as we saw with the Trump 4 years, they won't stop. They will use the courts. They will use the FBI. They will use the CIA, the administrative state, almost every tool in their arsenal they will use.
The impunity, that how they act, Victor, is shocking. And I'd like to pick up on two examples of insanity and get your thoughts on them. And we'll do that right after these important messages.
Have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and veggies may actually lower your risk of cancer. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. If not, you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is found in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. Will Field of Greens prevent, treat, or cure cancer? No, but it's so powerful, it promises at your next checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back. I got you 15% off and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code VICTOR, V-I-C-T-O-R, for your discount. That's promo code VICTOR at fieldofgreens.com, fieldofgreens.com. Can't pay the IRS? Haven't filed in a while? Receiving threatening letters? Yeah, it's about to get worse. The IRS is hiring an army of agents targeting hardworking Americans like you. You need warriors on your side. You need Tax Network USA. Tax Network USA employs brilliant strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. For instance, they've discovered a limited-time special offer that the IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Never call the IRS alone. Let Tax Network USA attorneys handle it. They have preferred direct lines to the IRS. They know which agents to work with and which to avoid. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts and offer a best-in-class guarantee. Schedule your free consultation now. Call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. Or visit taxnetworkusa.com/victor. taxnetworkusa.com/Victor.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, two insanities. One, we'll stay on the gender. And then I'd like to raise something that happened this past week. Again, we're recording on the Saturday, the 17th, in New York City at St. Patrick's Cathedral. But the first thing is, here's a headline from the Daily Mail from the other day. Elderly woman, California woman, 90, is fired from her volunteering position of 60 years at an MS, multiple sclerosis, nonprofit, because she, quote, did not understand pronouns, end quote, despite previously winning multiple awards for being a volunteer. So a 90-year-old lady, I guess, doesn't know that you should be ZZ-er instead of, you know, she, her. And despite all the time dedicated to this service, she gets poop canned. This is nuts.
Yeah, it is. They're bullies, I mean, too.
Maybe not much more to say than that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do? Why would you go after a 90-year-old woman who's a volunteer for 60 years, who's given her time and her labor free for a noble cause of trying to stop this horrific disease? And you don't care about her work. You're not talking about the disease. You're not talking about the effect it will have on other volunteers. You're just sort of going to go down the what? The Bud Light Road, the Dylan Mulvaney thing. Is that what you're going to do? And it's not that she deliberately said she wouldn't do it or she had a habit of being provocative. She was just confused about it, as I am. Everybody is.
Right.
And I don't know what to do when every time a Stanford professor sends a memo, they have pronouns, you know, at the bottom under their signature. I don't know what it means.
Isn't that the intention, to keep people like you and me and others confused?
I guess it is.
Backpedaling and...
I do know that 10 years ago, when I look at the literature of something called gender dysphoria, and this is people who genuinely have, or they're in a physical, biological gender, sex, and yet psychologically they don't feel that they're part of that. And that does occur, that mismatch in nature. But on the record, it's a very rare physical and mental phenomenon, and it's recorded in the literature, but it's a very, very small percentage of 1%. And how this got to be 30% of a particular campus say they may be transitioning, and that's what some of the polls should, it shows you that it's almost a mass hysteria, and it's brought about by fear that transgendered activists will harm you, show up, screen you, sort of like happened to the swimmer at San Francisco State when she was cornered. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah. And
right. Yeah. Riley Gaines.
Riley Gaines. She was in physical danger.
Right.
That was by intent, to show everybody that this is what's going to happen to you. And when the government doesn't do anything or doesn't protect you, it's...
Or the institution also. They should not be held, you know, inculpable.
I get paid by Stanford University, and the Hoover Institution is semi-autonomous. So when I go on campus, or I go to my office, or I have relations, you know, over the email with very, I'm always assuming that something's going to happen. I just am. That I'm going to get a call and say, did you say that? Did you write that? How dare you? It's happened to me. Did you go on Fox News? The faculty senate wants to investigate you. I just assume that. And you have to have two attitudes. You have to have two. I don't know what I would do if I was 30 again with three little kids and no money, making $19,000 a year. But I just assume that that's, everybody has a rendezvous with that encounter, no matter where you are. You can be at a university. You can be at the fire department. You can be in the police force. You can work at the DMV, but you have a rendezvous with that. And that's what's scary about it. And the people who are coming out of the woodwork to be the enforcers believe that they're on the winning side. It's not that the issue, they don't particularly believe or disbelieve in the issue. The point is they believe in the issue, which they feel is the wiser thing to believe in, given their career concerns.
Yeah, they will. If you're, what's his name, Michael Phillips, the cake baker in Colorado, win, they're going to come after
his life. Look at his life.
Yeah.
And that's the point, isn't it? Just say, look what they did to Devin Nunes. I drove down the 99 for years and would see these billboards, Devin Nunes, Putin's poodle, Putin's asset. Does anybody put a billboard now and say, we want to apologize to Devin Nunes as chairman of the House Select Committee on Intelligence? He was right that the Russian government did not collude on behalf of Donald Trump, but rather fed information to Christopher Steele and others to compile a phony dossier to destroy Hillary Clinton's political rival for a price, both being paid by the FBI as an informant and by the Hillary Clinton campaign through three. I don't see that.
Right.
All I remember is when I go up to the Bay Area, everybody once in a while says, do you know Devin Nunes? Isn't he down there in your place? Yeah, I do. God, he was the guy who helped Trump beat the Russian interference rap. No, that's not true. He was the guy that exposed the Russian interference lie and concoction and dissimulation. But that's how but you ruined a person's reputation. That's
right.
What they do.
As Ray Donovan, right, the former Secretary
Transportation.
Of
Transportation. Yeah.
Where do I go to get my reputation back? Right. Speaking of reputations, Victor, the Archdiocese of New York, Roman Catholic Archdiocese, took a blow this past week, and I don't mean to get sectarian here, but this is in line with what we're just talking about. Some transgender atheist prostitute died and got a funeral mass at St. Patrick's. Now, I'm telling you, Victor, if Mary O'Malley, who prayed her rosaries every day and went to mass every day, died, she would not get a funeral at St. Patrick's Cathedral. She wouldn't. But this guy did, and it was chaos. 600 or so transvestite, transgender, decked out like a la the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. You're just a hellacious poop show that took place at a Roman Catholic mass officiated by a Roman Catholic priest who referred to this guy who claimed dead guy claimed he was a woman using the she and her pronouns at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. And for 2 days on top of, so Victor, that this could even happen, that the transgender, transvestite community thought they could act like this at this sacred place, that the Archdiocese of New York would be so stunned not to know that something was going to happen here, and
they're
that it took more than 48 hours to respond to it. It's really disheartening that
They're afraid of them, Jack.
Yeah.
They think we have to negotiate people. They're running things. We don't want to end up like the church during the Jacobin Revolution when they went out and killed people. So we're going to deal with them. And at some point in this Marxist cultural binary of victimizers and oppressors versus victimized and oppressed, we're starting to see that there's too many victimized people and not enough victimizers, because everybody's coming out of the woodwork and making claims against this mythical victimizer group. But that mythical group doesn't have the numbers, and it doesn't have the wherewithal and the money to keep satisfying these demands. And at some point, the number of people who get up every morning, they go to work. I'm not advocating a married nuclear family. I'm not saying anything about it. I have a lot of friends that are gay. I have friends that are single. I have friends that live alone. I have members of my family who have never had children. fine. I think that's great. But at some point, the person who buys a home and has two or three children and raises them to be good citizens, there are too few of them. They're just too few of them. And they get no credit. They get up every day. They go to work. They pay their taxes. They keep quiet. And they look at all of this stuff that's going on that we've talked about with the legal system, the lawfare, the weaponization of politics, this particular transgender group, this Black Lives Matter group, this Voice of Aslan. There's just too many. The center's not holding. There's not enough people who say, wait a minute. We are $35 trillion in debt. We don't have the money. We're printing it. Wait a minute. We have a nuclear superpower called China that wants to destroy us, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. Wait a minute. There is a new alliance in the world of Iran and Russia and China and North Korea, and they are peeling off people like Qatar and Turkey, and they don't like any of you. Wait a minute. You cannot walk down a street in the early evening in Minneapolis and Memphis and Washington and Baltimore.
Right.
That is an existential problem. Right. At some point, these are the things that count. And all we're doing is worrying about pronouns and a drag show at a diocese. And it doesn't make any sense. It's like we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Right.
We have some real problems. And we have no unity. We have no common purpose. We have no educated population. If I take a microphone and I go into my hometown and I walk along the streets of Salmar, I go up to Fresno and I walk up to somebody and I said, can you tell me the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives? If I say to you, do you know who Franklin Delano Roosevelt was? If I say, could you tell me the difference between World War I and World War II? If I say to them, would you please just tell me what the Supreme Court does? They have no idea. None.
You could do that on a college campus.
Yes.
Also, and get the
exactly.
same.
So
same
we are
reaction.
An ignorant and arrogant culture, and we've got to save it. And that's why we try to do these. Everybody, according to their station, has to do something
right.
to stop it. And, you know, you can write, you can podcast, you can listen, you can act, you've got to vote. You not only got to vote, you've got to take people to the polls. You've got to watch the polls. You've got to be vigilant. And I think it's the 11th hour. I put it this way. We're all in the walls of Constantinople. And it's coming up to Black Tuesday, May 29th, 1453. And the city is no longer 1 million people. And the empire is no longer 20 million people. There's only about 50 brave souls in the city. And we're looking at an army of 250,000 that want to kill us and destroy the culture. That's the metaphor that I see, the simile. And we either resist and say, you know, not this pig. We're not going to do it anymore. We're going to speak out. We're going to restore this great country. Or we concede and make the necessary adjustment
right. And
join them. It's like the invasion of the body snatchers. You either stop it or you just go limp and get body snatched and you wake up and everything's fine.
Yeah. Don't go to sleep, folks.
You're one of them.
Yeah. Well, Victor, we'll stay on the social madness for a little bit and then get into foreign policy. And we'll do that right after this important message.
At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, I just want to make one comment about the 90-year-old volunteer lady. Interesting how you can be 90 and doddering and can't. Well, it's not unfair to say she's doddering. Let's just say confused about a certain point. And you can't volunteer for a charity that you've been doing that for 60 years. But you can be 80 and doddering and be president of the United States. So I just want to make that comparison.
You cannot do almost any job in America, but you can be in the United States. Everybody should listen. If you don't know where you are or you slur your words, you can't be a truck driver. You can't be an electrician. You cannot be a teacher. You cannot be a surgeon. You cannot be a lawyer. But you can be the president of the United States, because that's not apparently a very important job.
We are a lucky people. Hey, Victor, last week, some climate punks with pink powder threw it on the Constitution at the National Archives. This kind of public theater of these whiny, scrawny punks, whether they're throwing pumpkin soup on the Mona Lisa in France or here, is, I shouldn't say it's comical, because you look at them with disdain, but I think they are having some kind of a sickening impact on our culture. But I just wonder if these two clowns who did this at the National Archives last week, do you think they'll be prosecuted by?
No, I don't. I think they're going to have the same fate as the young Senate aide who took off all of his clothes and he went into a hallowed chamber of the Congress. And then he filmed himself being sodomized. And he thought that was great with his jock strap on. And then he put it all over social media. And then when people objected, he said, oh, you're telling me that I can't love the person I want and the way I want. And he got not public nudity, not in, taking over a public space for a sexual act, nothing. They won't have anything. I know that because there were two guards there, Jack. You saw them.
Right.
They were sitting there apparently armed. I don't know why they have weapons. They're never going to use them, but there they are. And these people were desecrating a sacred document, and they didn't do anything. Why didn't they just go arrest them? And they allowed them to start mouthing off. There's no deterrence. And so we don't live in a shame culture anymore. In the old days, which are not so old, they would have been arrested.
Right.
And I'm talking about the 50s and 60s when I grew up. And then they would have said they were going to be sentenced to a year in jail with, maybe 6 months off for good behavior if they went out in a road gang and picked up trash. Or they went out and, first of all, they have to clean up their mess in front of everybody. And then their names, I remember what it was like. Those two people would have had this treatment.
Right.
John Smith, age 19, a student at, I'm just making this up, City College of New York. John Smith, son of Mr. John Smith and Dora Smith at 1415 Elm Avenue in Brooklyn.
Right.
Was arrested. That's what they would say.
Right.
And that would work. Today, we don't even know the names of the shooters at the Super Bowl Kansas City event, right?
Right.
Why didn't people? Well, they're juvenile. Oh, no, they're not juvenile. They're adults that shot and killed somebody and wounded over a dozen. And we're not even allowed to know their names. So it's not going to change until there has to be some social opprobrium of breaking the law. I think a lot of the things is the juvenile court system. We treat people who are adults who are committing violent acts as if they're children. I think you should say anybody over 14 who commits an act will have his name printed, his address printed, his parents' names, such as they are, and have them printed.
Yeah.
And let people know. And these people, we should know who they are. We should. And that was, if you doubt that, one of the things that Bill Ackman discovered and the donor class at Harvard, they didn't care about their money necessarily. They didn't care about their arguments. They cared about one thing. They let it be known that all those people who were protesting and signed those petitions or broke the law, they were never going to hire them again. In other words, they were going to be socially ostracized. And these people, they knew for all of their braggadocio about being a brave protester on the barricade, they were careerists. And the most important thing was getting a blue chip law billet. And when that was impossible, oh my God, this is so unfair. I just called for the genocide of the Jewish people and the destruction of Israel while I was on the campus, and I broke campus rules. And but why would you not let me go to a blue chip law firm? And so that I think we could get back to that very quickly,
right?
If we had some deterrence.
Did you see on that score, Victor, that the House Education Committee is going after Harvard for not producing legislation related to that committee's probe into anti-Semitism at Harvard, and that Penny Pritzker, who's the and the interim president Alan Garber, they have not turned over documents. Turned over some, but not all. So,
I hope that Congress, I hope if they could ever get the Republicans could get their act together and they could get a 20 vote margin in the House and win the Senate by 5 seats and get a Republican president, they should just tell Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Stanford, you got a choice. We'll keep out of your business. If you want internal laws and legislation that we don't agree with, you're a private institution. Go ahead and do it. But if you take money from us, if you want a tax-exempt endowment where you're not going to pay federal income tax on the income, if you want students on federally subsidized loans, if you want federal research grants, if you want people to get federal tax deductions from giving money, then we're going to have a say. And I suggest you don't do any of that and you break with us and be completely autonomous. But if you're not willing to do that, we're going to tell you stuff that you're going to have to do, and it's going to be in accordance with the Constitution. And that's what they need to do. These people are completely roguish, the universities. Jack, we've had for 30 years Prop 209. It says you cannot use race or gender as criteria for hiring or promotion.
Right.
Or admission. And the university just snubbed their nose at it. They just said, screw you. We're not going to do that. Nobody's going to do anything to us because the governor or the attorney general, they're on our side, the federal government. Nobody's going to do that. I was on hiring committees, and when we would start hiring by race, I'd say, excuse me, let me read you the statute, Prop 209. It doesn't matter. Come on. It doesn't matter. And ignored it.
They're in practice. They're right, and that's a part.
They
of
were
that.
Right.
Great shame. Yeah. Well, Victor, I'd like to take a minute to welcome back one of our favorite sponsors, Hillsdale College, and our listeners should know that Victor is one of the professors in 3 of the over 40 free online courses at Hillsdale. That's right, American Citizenship and Its Decline. That's one of the 3 courses. That's based on Victor's book, The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism, and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. Then there's the Second World Wars, which is the course based on Victor's book by the same name. And then the 3rd course is Athens and Sparta, partly based on Victor's book, A War Like No Other, How the Athenians and Spartans Fought the Peloponnesian War. Courses are 7 to 9 episodes long, and they're self-paced, so you can take them whenever and wherever. Go to hillsdale.edu/VDH to start. It's free, and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/VDH to start. hillsdale.edu slash VDH, we thank the good people at Hillsdale College for sponsoring the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, let's turn. We have a little time left. Maybe we'll have time to get into the squatting. I'm not sure. But let's talk about an important foreign policy matter. Back to Anthony Blinken, who we talked about earlier in the show, and his boss, the doddering Joe Biden, and their continued, one, contempt for Benjamin Netanyahu, and reports have come out about the standard vulgarities that Joe Biden uses to characterize the president of, not the president, the prime minister of Israel. And then the ongoing push for a two-state solution, which means sanctifying Israel's enemy as its neighbor. Any thoughts, Victor?
It's not new. It's not new, Jack. During the Clinton administration, we interfered with the internal relations, politics of Israel. We sent Clinton campaign operatives over there with the express purpose of defeating candidate Netanyahu. Remember during the Obama administration, they got so angry that Netanyahu spoke to Congress about the real dangers of the Iran deal that they deliberately held him up and made him wait. And I think Obama was quoted as calling him chicken shit. And they made fun of him. They hated him. And so the United States gives lectures on the left all the time about what we did with Allende and what we did with Mossadegh. But they have no problem, no hesitation to interfere, whether it's Ukraine or whether it's Israel, anytime they feel like it, and interfere with their politics. And what we give Israel is about $3 billion in military aid, and we think we have a lever. And we tell Netanyahu, you better have a wartime cabinet. You better have members of the opposition. We're going to approve $100 billion. A lot of that's going to go to Ukraine. We do not tell Mr. Zelensky, listen, we're on your side. We want you to repel Russian aggressions, but you cannot, repeat, you cannot suspend habeas corpus. You cannot declare martial laws. You cannot ban most political parties, and you cannot put off elections. You understand? We didn't do that during World War II, and you can't either. So they don't. And so they just keep telling Netanyahu, you know, you're not going to have collateral damage. Does anybody say that to us when we hit back after these 170? The Israelis say, hey, I know you were hit 170 times, but I want you to be very careful that you text. We can show you how to do it. You text the people that live around your intended target. And by the way, we're willing to help you with Ukraine. So in occupied Crimea or occupied Donbass, when the Russians send a drone from a platform and you want to take out that platform, here's how you do it. You text people that live around it. You drop leaflets. What you lose in the element of surprise, you make up in moral currency. Do we do that? No, we don't do that at all. Do Israelis or anybody say to America, you're not proportionate. How many Houthis and how many Iranian surrogates have you killed versus how many you lost? We don't say that to the Ukrainians. We don't say to them, we want you to be proportionate. Putin went into your country, but that's no reason to hit the Kremlin unless you can tit for tat show you that you're doing no more damage and you're suffering. We only say that to Israel.
Victor, do you think, pardon if there's any Bronx noises in the background here, about Netanyahu, that part of the disdain for him is, one, that he's a Jew, and two, that he is has been an actual warrior, you know, a man.
They got very angry when they had those two pictures during the Obama administration, and they went all over the internet. There was one with Obama smoking a cigarette. I think a long cigarette, and he had a Panama hat, and he was all decked out almost in girly fashion, relaxing. And then right next to him, there was Netanyahu at the same age and a paratroopers with, I think, a parachute on his back, you know, airborne or something. Maybe it was just regular combat, and he had been involved in a rescue operation. Yeah, they were juxtaposed. There's another element as well as the fact that he's Jewish and that he was a combat veteran, and that is he grew up for a long part of his life on the East Coast. He's got an American accent. His father was an academic.
Right.
Very famous student of the Spanish Inquisition. His brother was a very accomplished radiologist and playwright. And so he understands the America intimately. He knows how it works. He knows the great strengths and the great weaknesses of America. And when they talk to him, he sounds like an American. So there's a familiarity that bothers them. They think it's spooky. They think that they can't con him. He knows about how he is one of us, they almost think.
Right.
And yeah, when you go to Israel today and you juxtapose to 20, 25 years ago, and you look at a town like Haifa or parts of Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, and you see the roads and you see the infrastructure and you see the waterfront and you see the ports and you see the parks and you see the bustle and hustle, it's just stunning. And one of the reasons it's stunning is under Sharon, he was a interior minister, economic minister, name it. And he opened up that economy and he stopped the kibbutz mentality of socialism, and he allowed people to be free market capitalists. And the result is all of that Jewish education and brilliance was unleashed. And the result is now it's got almost the same per capita income as the United States and greater than a lot of European countries.
Right.
And it's at the forefront of every, you know, every scientific field in return to research and development. He did that. Netanyahu did that.
Right.
And that's why they hate him even more. Yeah. It's so weird about the left. I feel it's, you know, if you're a foreigner and you're dealing with America, when you look at this, when you get a left-wing government in there, it's very hard to deal with because they don't play by the rules. It's what your ideology is. It's what your ideology is.
Yeah.
And that determines it. All of a sudden, if Donald Trump is bequeathed the Abrams Accords and you signed on to it and you want to participate, and Biden comes in and says, oh, no, that's got Jared Kushner's fingerprints in it. And they just cool it until they need it. And then suddenly the Middle East blows up and he says, I'm going to revive the Abraham Accords. And I'm going to say it's the Biden Accords. And I'm going to court Saudi Arabia that I said was essentially a criminal state. And then it's okay. So what do you do if you're a Saudi? Abraham Accords are good. Now they're bad. Now they're good again. And right. That's how you deal with it.
Well, Victor, by the way, springing this on you, it's blatant. The testing of Jews, that's part and parcel, I think, of the hatred of Netanyahu is kind of across the board. I want to recommend to our listeners to check out every once in a while online. It's a journal, Tablet Magazine. We've talked about it in the past. It's a Jewish online journal. And there's a terrific piece in the most recent, last week, and it's by a professor from Columbia University, Shai Davidai, who's in the business school, and his wife, Yarden Greenspan, and they are left-wingers. They are left-wing, progressive Jews. And they lamented, rightly so, to their friends and the community at Columbia, the attacks on Jews on October 7th. And even though they're people of the left, even though they check every box, they are now vilified by their fellow progressives and lefties, have been shunned, etc. So it's the fact that they, you know, if you're going to be a Jew, just shut up about being a Jew, you know, be a lefty, but once you start talking about that, there's no room here for you. So I want to recommend that. And Victor, if we're going to take just one last quick break here. When we come back, we'll get a final few thoughts from you on squatting. Not the exercise, but the thievery. We'll get to that right after these important messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, let's cap today's episode with your thoughts. Here's a headline from a publication called Zero Hedge and a writer, Tyler Durden. Here's the piece. It's titled, "Squatters are taking over homes all over the nation on an industrial scale and turning them into dens of crime." And there's so much here in this piece. And he talks about just in the Atlanta area alone, where Fannie Willis is too busy being on cruises with her lover, that there are 1,200 homes in the Atlanta area that are being squatted. Writes here, "Squatters are ruining entire neighborhoods in Atlanta, and police response to evict is so slow. Some homeowners have resorted to paying nuisances to leave. Brazen squatters even opened an illegal strip club on property they had taken over. One of the 1,200 homes which have been squatted in the city, according to the National Rental Home Council. I'd be terrified in Atlanta to lease out one of my properties," says Matt Urbanski, who manages a local home cleaning company, he told Bloomberg. Victor, this is not just Atlanta. It's nationwide. I still can't get my head around it. My brain is insufficient, as you know, as the listeners know. But the thought that your home, right? Your home, your hearth. Home is the thing you could, you know, if someone's trying to break in, you can shoot them. But someone breaks in and you're not there, they have a claim to it. And the agents of law and order in our nation, across the nation, don't seem to give a rat's ass about this.
Well, I think everybody should realize, I discuss this a lot in the Dying Citizen. People forget that the impetus, the fuel, the catalyst for constitutional government, whether a federated republic or a broad-based oligarchy or radical democracy, as it originated in Greece, was the protection of property. That is, the right to have property in your name, legal ownership, and the ability to sell it, or more importantly, to pass it on to your children without confiscations from the state. Prior to that, in the 7th and 8th century in Greece, most of the civilizations of the Near East or Egypt or Persia, they had no clear concept of that. The degree to which you own property was predicated on largesse from the state, and the state could confiscate it, enhance it, subtract it as it felt best. So it was the idea of the individual could have property. And that was a radical economic idea, because suddenly people just said, I'm 70 years old, but I can plant olive trees, even though they won't come into bearing until I'm 75. But I don't care if I die, because my children will have it. And once you protect property, all good things follow from it. But if you don't protect property, then you don't have personal freedoms, and the whole system unwinds. And that means, why would anybody work hard or take a mortgage out or try to improve a piece of property that they own when they don't own it? In the sense that somebody can walk in and say, I appeal to a higher moral justice. You have two pieces of property and I have no, so I'm going to take one of yours. And when the state enables that through indifference or active complicity, it unwinds the whole system. Why would anyone want to? I have, you know, it's very funny. About 5 years ago, I had one of my many root canals, and there was a wonderful young dental hygienist that was assisting the dentist, and she was talking as he went between patients, and I was waiting for the painkiller to take in, that her family had gone back to Mexico. They were immigrants, and they went down to southern Mexico in Oaxaca, and they went to their home, which they thought the neighbors were watching out. She said it wasn't that great, but it was two or three bedrooms, and they had about an acre. And guess what? There were squatters there living in it. And when they objected, some people with AR-15s came up and said, you better leave right now, meaning they were either connected with a cartel or they had permission or they just were armed themselves. And as she was saying this, she goes, this is what we, one of the reasons that we love the United States. And I said, like an idiot, I don't think that could ever happen here. There is the rule of law. They would call the sheriff and have the sheriff. And that's not true, Jack. That's no longer true. I have friends now in the Bay Area and family members. If you own a home and you are going to move out of it and you want to keep it, maybe for a vacation home or you want a second home, you should not do that.
Right.
Because once it is determined that it is empty, someone will either move in, or if you want to rent it and they have no intention of being a genuine renter, but they will not pay and then they will just stay on. You don't have any redress, at least in a left-wing jurisdiction.
Right.
And so that unwinds constitutional government. That says to people, why buy a house? Why invest the money in fixing it up? Why, if you don't own it? And I think we don't realize that we look back in history and it all seems a mystery. We say, why did Rome have all the existential problems solved by 100 AD and 70 million people, a million square miles with habeas corpus, aqueduct, and then just 300 years later, it all fell apart. Shouldn't it have got better? Doesn't everything get better? Isn't the Whig idea of history material moral progress? What happened? Why was Byzantium a wonderful place to live under Justinian and 530, but it was a non-existent place in 1453, say by June? Why? Well, this is the answer. What happens is civilizations and societies, they insidiously don't even understand what's happening before their very eyes. They find out that they defund the police or that they can't count on the public monopoly of violence to protect people. So they get a fortified farm out in North Africa, or they go up in the hills, or during the Ottoman occupation, the Byzantine Empire falls apart. So you go way up at a place like Andritsyna and hide from the Turks. And you don't own property anymore. Property rights right. disappear. Individual rights, personal safety disappears. Your money, you don't have anywhere to put your money because it can be confiscated. And when you start to see what's happening with attaching, you know, assets, the police, you know, they raid your house, we're going to attach your assets. Or you can drain a person's assets through lawfare, as we're seeing as waged against Mark Stein.
Right.
So it's insidious. It's again, I don't want to use that trite phrase from Hemingway's Sun Also Rises about bankruptcy, but it was gradually, then suddenly. It all mounts up. It's like debt. You know, we can handle 10, 20 trillion, 30, but not, and maybe 35, but not 40. And we don't find that until it's sudden. And we don't find that we don't own property and you can't have property until it's sudden. And you can't, you know, you kind of avoid bad places. Then all of a sudden you can't go anywhere because it's sudden. All that was gradual. And that's what's happening. We've got to stop it. Stop. That should be one of the great things of the campaign pledges of the Trump administration. You mentioned Atlanta. You're talking a lot about upper middle class and middle class African Americans who have played by the rules. They've saved their money. Maybe they've inherited a small home, and then they were able to build a bigger one somewhere else or buy one, and they want to rent it out, and they can't. Right. They can't collect rent. They can't get them out. They can't afford to fix the damage.
God help you if you went in there and physically tried to pull them out. You'd go to jail.
And Donald Trump needs to say, he needs to have an agenda for America, a contract with America. I hope the Heritage Foundation, who's ever advising him, has that. And one of them would be, we will have a federal racketeering, a RICO statute that says, across state lines or whatever the federal jurisdiction can be imagined, if you occupy a home for any purposes that is not your own, and you do not have a contractual right to be in that home, and you are evicted, you will be evicted. And if you're not, if you resist, you are subject to the following statutes. And stop it, because you can't count on these local prosecutors are all right. Based, you know, Soros-funded, critical legal theory, da-da-da-da-da. The law is flexible and is, you know, is used for the oppressed in the cultural binary of winner and losers. I know I'm sounding depressed today, but it's not the weather out here in California. It's gray and rainy, but it's just with this week with the Biden dementia and right. The special counsel's report and coming on the heels of the 83 million Jean Carroll, this obscene $350 million settlement with the Letitia James boast that, you know, it's about what she did, and then the Fannie Willis testimonies, and it just, and then what we're, Ukraine is that they're retreating, they lost another city. I mean, it's everything.
Right.
It's everything we were told is not true.
It's been a grim week.
Yes, it has, and we got to end on a big happy note or we're going to depress ourselves into stupid.
Well, I'll tell you a happy note is that Victor has a website, The Blade of Perseus, and it's at victorhanson.com. Folks, if you like Victor's writing, American Greatness, and his syndicated columns, you're going to want to subscribe to The Blade of Perseus, because two or three times a week, Victor writes a piece exclusively for the website. When you go there, you'll also find links to the aforementioned American Greatness essays, syndicated columns, archives of this podcast, links to Victor's other appearances, link to his forthcoming book, which he essentially talked about a few minutes ago, The End of Everything, How Wars Descend into Annihilation. That's out in May. There's a link to The Dying Citizen. Should be a link up there, Victor, to The Case for Trump, because that will be a more heightened issue as the approaching months come.
Yes, I
do check. It's no question about it.
I have a series I'm starting for next week about a barn. I know that some people, I've written about farming, and I have a 150-year-old barn that's collapsing. I didn't know what to do with it, and I'm looking out the window now at people all hanging on the sides of it trying to save it. But I had to put all new trusses, and it just was one of those things where you start to look at it and you think, maybe I can just patch the roof or put a never wrap. No, it's the whole thing. And you either have, and the smart thing would be to destroy it and get a nice metal shed that is prefabbed and would be very strong. Or
but some great grandpa. But
I know it. I know it. Yeah. I know it. I thought I was a pragmatist and a realist, but I'm
neither.
I'm spending a small fortune to rebuild the barn, and the people, unfortunately, that are doing the work are more enthused than I am. So they're telling me, we've got to do it perfect. We've got to do this. You know what? And they're not after money, really. They have such pride in their work, but they're giving me all sorts of ideas how to make the strongest, biggest, toughest barn in the world.
Well, it'll be around another 150 years from now, Victor. So you're a sentimental man.
Unless, when I die, my son finds out that squatters are living in it.
Well, maybe those dogs you have will take.
I don't know. They don't look very excited today about being watchdogs.
When the riots happened, George Floyd riots all across America, and in New York, Manhattan, a lot of stores were broken into. But one store that wasn't was Saks Fifth Avenue, which is right across the street from the aforementioned St. Patrick's Cathedral. And one of the reasons why was the folks at Saks had these tough, you know, retired Navy SEALs, et cetera. And each one of them had a dog with them, like a German Shepherd or a Mastiff or something. And bad people are afraid of dogs.
I was thinking that just to close that I have Queensland Healers, and the collective age of them is over 50 of the four.
Yeah.
And they're kind of worn out with life, and they've got all sorts of medical problems, and they get scared. I mean, they used to be, super dogs. So I'm thinking of going the German route. Have you ever noticed that I'm not speaking ill of our German friends, but every dog that is vicious, even a little mini dog, I had a dachshund, there were snappers and German Shepherds and Weimaraners and Doberman Pinschers. And I'm thinking of going one thoroughbred German Shepherd, one Doberman Pincher, and one Weimaraner. One more honor, is that the way? And I think that would give me a lot of deterrence.
Yeah, amen. Guess
all male, all male, all uncastrated, no neutering, all in the prime of life. What a weird combo that triad would be.
Oh, I can't wait to visit you and see them, to pet them. Last thing, Victor, $5 a month, $50 a year to subscribe to your website. So folks, go to victorhanson.com. And if you're on X, Twitter, Victor's handle is at VD Hansen. If you're on Facebook, there's a wonderful group of people. They run the Victor Davis Hansen fan club. You'll find that. There's about 60,000 people belong to that group. And what else? Jack Fowler, Civil Thoughts. I write that free weekly email newsletter. Please subscribe. I know folks are really enjoying it. Go to civilthoughts.com, sign up. Again, it's free. I do that for the Center for Civil Society at AmPhil, where we're trying to strengthen civil society. And Civil Thoughts is 14 recommended readings, articles I've come across the previous week that I do think and believe that you will like. So thanks to those who do that. Now, Victor, I have a comment or two to read to get us out of here. And here's one. It's called Great Podcast. And it says, this is, by the way, from off of iTunes and Apple. And thanks to the folks that go there and leave comments. We do read them. You're one of a diminishing few that I can count on for an informed, thoughtful view on current events. Thank you for being there for us. Your historical insight is also greatly appreciated. That's signed Red Wolf OPW. And here's one more just to show. And Victor, don't interrupt me. Just to show that we read everything and we flagellate. Imagine, it's titled Imagine Uninterrupted VDH! Exclamation point. Imagine a podcast featuring the uninterrupted brilliance of VDH, a podcast in which he has the luxury of slowly making his point, not fighting or competing with his co-host. Where can I find this podcast? The magic of VDH is his calming, reassuring, informed pace of weaving through history, connecting his powerful
insights. I didn't write that, Jack.
No, I know you didn't. Revealing today's missteps. Imagine an hour of listening to VDH uninterrupted at a leisurely pace. This current podcast takes VDH's magic and destroys it with the frantic pace of competing co-hosts, a sacrifice.
Frantic? That's so weird that you said that, because I got a long email that said, you're wandering, you're too discursive, you go off on dead ends. Why don't you listen to Sammy and Jack and get you shorter burst? We don't want to hear about some Greek thing or some World War II incident. You're off topic.
How dare you be a military historian? Yeah.
That's what I agree. I'm serious. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, this was signed by It's E.L. L. And, you know, hey, you're entitled to, you know, punch the ugly co-host in the face. He deserves it every once in a while. Well, Victor, you've been terrific. Thanks for all the wisdom you shared. Particularly to our new listeners, thanks for coming. I hope you stick around. You'll get Victor 4 times a week, and it's doing very well in the rankings out there, and that's because of the man who's the star of the show. So thanks again, Victor. Thanks for listening, folks. And we will be back soon with another episode of the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening, everyone. See you very soon.
Have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and veggies may actually lower your risk of cancer. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. If not, you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is found in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. Will Field of Greens prevent, treat, or cure cancer? No, but it's so powerful, it promises at your next checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back. I got you 15% off and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code VICTOR, VICTOR, for your discount. That's promo code VICTOR at fieldofgreens.com, fieldofgreens.com.